men no longer desired women, who were turned into chattels and slaves, and women were beaten, whipped, and tied if they so much as looked up in protest. Women were horribly disfigured and maltreated by the men. They were reduced to subhumans, the women folk of this area, of this territory, of this place. They were reduced to subhumans, to lower than animals. Beaten, whipped, lashed, and tied. The men became devils indeed, as sodomy increased amongst them and became rampant in their communities. Together with these evils, the sodomite peoples indulged in all kinds of games of chance and animal races, racing, dog races, horse races, camel races, you name it. What period are we talking about, brothers? We're talking about a long time ago. We're talking of several thousand years ago. And look at the indulgences. And as I read on, and as I go on, and as I proceed explaining the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and their indulgences, you will see that they even exceeded the bounds that are present today. They even exceeded those limits. Any case, this is what happened. They were very fond, because they were a very wealthy and affluent society, remember? Plenty of food, plenty of water, plenty of everything good and nice. They indulged in all kinds of games of chance and animal races. Gambling was rife throughout the land, and drinking and dancing was to be found everywhere. They crossed, the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam, crossed every moral barrier on their way to self-destruction. Their conduct was akin to that of wild animals, wild asses, wild beasts. Nay, it was even more debased, even more demeaning than that of the act of wild animals. Even wild animals, my dear brothers, even wild animals observe certain rules. But the sodomites, in their lusting, followed no rules. They listened to no one. Anybody who stood in their way or tried to talk some sense into them was simply removed by their joint action. They became totally evil in mind and in body. Their promiscuity had reached its lowest level in mankind. In a hadith, the evil habit and the sinful ways of the sodomite peoples has been described as follows. Now listen to this hadith of that particular period, of the period of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, as spoken, as uttered, as described by Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Faqad akhraja Ishaq ibn Bishr wal Khatib wa ibn Asakir anil Hasan. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ashara khasalin amaltuha qawm Lut biha ahlaku. Ityani rijal ba'duhum ba'dan wa ramiyahum bil julahik wal khazaf ولعبهم بالحمام وضرب الظفوف وشرب الخمور وقص اللحية وطول الشارب والصفر والتصفيق ولباس الحرير أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has spoken as follows. He said, there are 10 habits which the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam indulged in, wherefore they were all destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These 10 evil habits are as follows. Number 1, they practiced sodomy. Number 2, they participated in various games of chance, like hurling arrows. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam now described some of the games of chance in which they indulged, like hurling arrows and other sharp weapons and stones at targets, in brackets I have here, such as those of living humans and animals. Right, they would arrange them in targets, and then they were in a drunken spree, they would have a drunken spree, and all of them would get nice and drunk, and they would take a child, a woman, or a man, or anybody, and they would put him there in one place, tie the person up, and then, or an animal, and then all of them would take bows and arrows, they would take their spears, and so on, and then they would make that the target, and they would aim it, and see who can pierce the heart, and have that killed. How many arrows will it take to to kill that particular child, or to kill that particular woman, or to kill that particular man. And then they would aim until the person fell dead, or the child fell dead. They would do the same with animals. Target practices. So, listen to this again. Number one, says Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they practiced sodomy. Secondly, they participated in various games of chance, like hurling arrows and other sharp weapons, and even stones at targets, such as those targets made up of living humans and animals. And they also, still number two, and they also held pigeon racing contests. Subhanallah, hadith. How much information? Yes, pigeon racing you think is something new for us. The people of Sodom, the people during the time of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, had made this into an art. Remember where I told you that in the time of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, how was the letter of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam sent south to Yemen? To what has been called the Queen of Saba. How was it sent? That's it. With the aid of a racing pigeon tied to its little feet or to its beak, and so it was posted and sent onwards. Alright? Now then, what does that mean? It was already an art in those days. So what is new in this world, brothers? One-armed bandits. Perhaps that's all machine. The concept is the same exactly. Nothing new. Roulette wheels, all these things existed at that time. Cards are an old, ancient evil. Never touch cards. It is a crime to touch cards and to indulge in the games of card, whether for free or whether for money. Because its history is an unclean, impure and distasteful one. Let's proceed. So that is number two, what I mentioned to you. Now comes number three, as mentioned by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, they stole. Who? The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. They stole, they swindled, and they robbed people. Number four, they loved singing and dancing. Number five, they were fond of wine bibbing and drunkenness. They liked wine extremely. We in the Cape know this particularly well. Of what wine does to people, and what those who consume liquor, what happens to them, and what is their state. And look at the people of Nabi Lut. That's why I keep asking myself, whenever I write these things and research them, what is really new? These things existed. People and nations have been destroyed as a result of all these indulgences. O Muslimin, we must be careful, we must beware. Nations have been destroyed as a result of all these indulgences. O Muslimin, we must be careful, we must beware. Nothing is new. Nothing is unknown to Allah. Nothing we do has not been in existence before. All has been. Today, we use apparatus. Alright? Today, what do we use? We use computers. And we feel that this computer technology is something modern. No, nothing modern, brothers. The minds of the people of the past, and even now such people exist, is a sharper than the mind of a computer, than that can be contained in a computer. More versatile mind, more agile mind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created of man. Good. So the fifth one was their wine bibbing ways and their drunkenness. And the sixth point, which Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned as the evil habit of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam, they liked cutting their beard. I haven't used the word shaving. They liked cutting their beard. They wouldn't allow it to grow. They liked to shave. Number seven, they loved growing their moustaches. Long moustaches, they loved it. Long moustaches. Moustaches growing over their lips. Huge moustaches standing. Clean shaven, and then big, big moustaches growing over it. It made them feel bold. It made them feel strong. And so they allowed their moustaches to grow. Point number eight. Subhanallah, hadith. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, amongst their evil habits, the eighth point Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentions was, they were fond of whistling. Allahu Akbar. La'natullah on a person that whistles a lot. Who started this? Who did this? There we are. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam were such a satisfied people that they would whistle to every tune. They would whistle on every occasion. They used to whistle messages. They loved whistling. They had developed whistling into an art. Number 9. They loved clapping their hands in applause. Subhanallah. I've heard my elders, the ulama, say many times, when you are happy at an occasion, when somebody does something good, don't clap. Say Alhamdulillah. Say Subhanallah. Say Allahu Akbar. Say may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless that person and reward him and give him long life. May Allah give him prosperity. May Allah give him lots of barakah. That is dua. What is clapping? The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam developed applause in the form of clapping, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to a man, pushed them from this world. None of them are left. That is the origin of whistling and clapping of hands in thunderous applause. Number 10, they liked wearing silken garments. Stately garments and so on. Brothers, I'm going to read once more without any commentary. I'm going to go over the translation of this hadith, tell you where I have obtained it from, and then we'll proceed. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there are 10 habits which the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam indulged in, wherefore they were all destroyed. These are, they practiced sodomy, they participated in various games of chance like hurling arrows and other sharp weapons and stones at targets, they stole, they swindled, and they robbed people, they loved singing and dancing, they were fond of wine bibbing and drunkenness, they liked cutting their beards, they loved growing their moustaches, they were fond of whistling, they loved clapping their hands in applause, and finally, the 10th point, they liked wearing silk. This hadith I have obtained from Tafsir Ma'ariful Quran of Maulana Idris Khandelvi Rahmatullah Alayh, volume 4, page 657. And various other tafsir, I have found them also, but I have extracted it particularly from this particular source. In the Quran Majid, now let's go to Quran. In the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us as follows about the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Now we turn to Quran and we're going to take up the story from the Quran. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Walutan Ataynahu Hukman wa Ilman wa Najaynahu min al-qaryati allati kanat ta'malu al-khaba'isa إنهم كانوا قوم سوء فاسقين وأدخلناه في رحمتنا إنه من الصالحين. Surah Anbiya, 21st Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 74 and Ayat number 75. Salak Allahul Azim, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Lut we gave wisdom, and to Lut we gave knowledge, and we, meaning Allah, and we saved him from the city which practiced abominations, which practiced filthy deeds. They were most certainly a wicked and a rebellious people. And we, says Allah, and we brought him into our mercy. Verily, he was of the righteous people. Who? Nabi Lut alayhi salam. Verily, says Allah, innahu minas salihin. He was of the righteous people. Do not impute any kind of crime or sin to Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. The Bible mentions Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam as Lot, and it gives the worst type of description for Lot. Brothers, it is horrible. Don't ever read what the Bible has to say about Lot. Don't read it. It is wicked. It is malicious what they have written about their prophets, particularly of Lot. So don't read it. Keep away from it. Therefore, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when divine revelation came down, when wahi came down, the communities that existed at that period to whom the da'wat of Islam was being given by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Jewish community, the Bani Israel community, the Israelite community, and the Christian communities. To them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving the invitation of Islam through His beloved messenger Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This point had to be cleared. What kind of man was Lot? The Jews and the Christians imputed all kinds of crimes and all kinds of abominations to Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clears the name, clears the character of His beloved Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, His beloved messenger Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervenes, Allah cleanses his name and purifies his name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and to Lut we gave wisdom and knowledge. He was not an ordinary man, he was not an ambitious man, he was not a sinful man. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we gave Lut, we gave him wisdom, we gave him understanding. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not indulge in wrongful deeds. He was pure. He was mine, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I made him my messenger to mankind. To him I gave revelation. He was there to direct mankind towards Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat. I chose him and he was sinless, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this Lut, my messenger, says Allah, we saved him from the city. Which city? It was the people of the city that were rude, that were lewd, and that were full of abominable practices, says Allah. And we saved Lut because he was a believer, because Lut was a prophet and a messenger. We saved him from that city, that horrible city we saved him from. Which city? The city that practiced abominations, filthy crimes and filthy deeds. We saved. Lut did not indulge in them as the Bible says and as the Torah imputes. No, no, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not be able to do to the Quran that which they have done to Torah. And I will swear, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not do to the Quran what they did to the Injil, to the Bible. No, they will not do. Allah says, I take protective custody of my holy word in the Quran. They will not be able to change this Quran, to alter this Quran, to add to this Quran, or to subtract from this Quran. They achieved it. The Israelites achieved it with the Torah. The Christian peoples achieved it with the Injil. But Allah says, no, they can try. And you Muslims, if you want to, amongst you, if they are rebels and hypocrites amongst you and munafiqeen who want to change this Quran, they can try, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nay, nay, says Allah, if you want, the entire humanity can come together. Allah says, and you can take all the jinns together also, and all of you, my creation, can get together and try and alter a single word of the Quran. You will not achieve any amount of success. No success will be granted to you in any way whatsoever to alter any portion, not a zabr, not a zair, not a kasra, not a fatha. Nothing at all will you be able to change of this Quran. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we granted wisdom and knowledge to Nabi Lut, to my messenger Lut, and we saved him from the city. It was the people of the city that indulged, not Lut alayhi salam, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what kind of people these were? No, not Lut and his believers, but the people, the Sodomite people, says Allah, they were most certainly, Allahu Akbar, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innahum kanu qawma saw'in fasiqeen. They were most certainly a wicked and a rebellious and a sinful and a shameless people, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wadakalnahu fi rahmatina, and we brought him into our mercy. We brought Lut and his family and the true believers, we brought him into our mercy. How can anybody now impute that Lut alayhi salam led his people into sin and crime? How can you do that? No. You may achieve it under the Christian flag, you may achieve it under the Jewish flag, but you will never ever achieve it under the flag of Islam. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we brought Lut and his believers into our mercy, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clearing his name altogether. Whose name? Lut alayhi salam's name, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, innahu minas salihin. Verily, he was of the righteous people, pure people, sinless people, the abominations. And remember, brothers, when I use the word sinless, I really mean sinless. I mean innocent of all sin. How hard it may be for an intellectual mind of today to swallow that. That is haq, what I say. A Nabi and a Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not commit sin. They are spotless. Their characters have to be. Their preaching has to be free of all sin. Because that mouth that utters divine revelation, it has to be absolutely pure. The abominations in which the people of Mu'tafika indulged were those I have already mentioned above. Sodom, the most debasing and the most degrading of all sins, was invented by these people of Sodom. And they freely and they willingly indulged in acts of sodomy. Self-sufficiency and lots of free time. Plenty of pride and arrogance and a careless and a carefree attitude had brought them to this devastating stage. They were prisoners of their evil and their iniquity. They were chained to their blindness and their senselessness. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam came to live in this area of Mu'tafika ostensibly to graze his flock of animals. But in reality, on his way here, he was ordained as a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he had settled down in Mu'tafika, in the town of Sodom, he was commanded by divine order to preach the truth to the people of this region. Morality and integrity, honesty and sincerity formed the fundamental basis of his preaching. He warned them, in other words the people, his people, he warned them of the serious consequences of their filthy deeds and actions. He invited them towards pure belief in one Allah. He asked them to follow him as the prophet of Allah. He begged them to shun evil. He begged them to restrain their passions. He begged them to respect their fellow human beings. They insolently shrugged their shoulders. They huffed and they puffed, and then they threatened him with harm and injury. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam went on preaching, not in the slightest perturbed or intimidated by them. They warned him to leave them alone with their evil ways and habits and to mind his own business. Nabi Lut alayhi salam held no fear for them, and he went on speaking to them about goodness and about piety and warning them of the dangers of sin and evil. They became adamant. They became obstinate. They paid no heed to him. The Quran Majid expounds the preachings and warnings of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam to his people in the following words. We're going to go constantly to Quran now. Everything I say, I will corroborate it with Al-Quran. For all this information is drawn from Quran and from the Ahadith. Says the Quran about what I've just said now. This is how Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam used to preach to his people. He used to say, وَلُوتًا إِذَا قَوْلَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَعَتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ عَهَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَحْوَةً مِنْ دُونِ النِّسَاءِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ Surah A'raf, 7th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 80 and Ayat number 81, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we sent Lut, Allah sent Lut, and we sent Lut, remember, when he said to his people, do you commit an abomination such as no creature in the world ever did before you? Subhanallah. Here it is what I said and spoke of earlier in our lesson, where I said sodomy was never committed from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to the time of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. No nation on earth. Many had been punished prior to Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Many nations had been destroyed prior to Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Not a single nation prior to this nation of Nabi Lut alayhi salam had ever indulged in sodomy. Here is the ayat of the Quran that bears testimony to this. And we sent Lut, says Allah. And Lut alayhi salatu wasalam used to tell his people, do you commit abomination such as no creature in the world ever did before you? Verily, you approach men with lust instead of women. Certainly, you are a people who exceed all bounds of decency and modesty. Certainly, you are a people who exceed all bounds. Bal antum qawmun musrifun. You exceed all bounds. You transgress all barriers. You are an evil people. And you indulge in that kind of evil which no nation and no people on earth have done prior to you. Verily, you approach men, and then Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam actually used to tell them of their indulgence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam meant when he told them that ma sabakakum biha min ahadim min al alamin. What is that act of fahsh? Here it is. Verily, you approach men with lust instead of women. Sodomy was a practice that violated all the laws of nature. It made them a wanton and a transgressing people. The people themselves, however, considered their wanton and their lustful ways to be the signs of a progressive nation. They had plenty of wealth, plenty of money, plenty of food, plenty to drink, plenty of fun, plenty of pleasure. All the things they lusted for was at their disposal. Therefore, the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam considered themselves as a progressive people. Oh yes, today the people, the gay communities, the people that indulge in free sex, they are people whom we call the liberal, permissive, promiscuous group of people. These people claim they are being progressive. Many people copy them, ape them, emulate them, thinking and considering them to be progressive. We have to be like them because they are the rich and the wealthy. They are the affluent people, so they are our heroes. They are the film stars, they are the wealthy singers, they are the pop artists, they are the greats of the world. They are the heroes of our time. Therefore, we must now follow them. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam also considered those who were more wanton, more shameless, more disgraceful in conduct, more corrupt, more immoral, more permissive, more promiscuous, more criminal in mind. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam considered them to be progressive peoples. Everybody wanted to be like them. Take our day and age, brothers. You see what happens today? They consider themselves permissive. The media plays them up. Television and the newspapers and the magazines, the radio, all these things play up their wanton and their liberal and their permissive ways and show them to be a better way, a more progressive way. How dangerous is this element? Well, it is so dangerous, brothers, that what they don't point out and what they fail to point out to us is the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that follows them everywhere. Now you will see what kind of azab came to the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam because they refused to obey him. We know what we are suffering from. We know that the HIV virus, generally we call them AIDS, what it is doing. Oh brothers, millions are going to die. Millions and millions are going to die. Maybe half the nation of human beings on earth within the next decade or less are going to disappear from the surface of the earth. They don't want to heed, they do not want to listen. Who wanted to listen to Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam? Nobody wanted to listen. Nobody wished to listen to him. Nobody wished to pay heed to him. The lessons that he taught and all the anbiyas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught about honesty, integrity and morality, goodness and piety and God fear. Who cares today? So, what has happened? Allah's punishment, Allah's adab comes in strange ways, brothers. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam prided themselves in their sins. Anything new? All the stars and the heroes, the people that are worshipped by millions at pop concerts, how do they attend? In their millions, isn't it? Amazing. Muslimin, take note. I am amazed at the manner and the method in which you adore and worship the stars, film stars and singers in the Muslim world. The musicians of our time in the Muslim world, how you adore them and how you worship them and how you take their names. Allah's azab and Allah's wrath and anger will descend on those who conduct themselves in this way. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, so long ago in history, also prided themselves in their sins. If we pride ourselves in the sins that we commit, we must be careful. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam did not look upon their filthy crimes and their wanton lusts and actions as evil and atrocious any longer. To them, their way, their evil way, their corrupt and immoral way was the best way of living. And they were thoroughly enjoying their dissolute, in other words, their loose and lewd lifestyle. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam addressed them at every opportunity. Allahu Akbar, brothers, what must I tell you, the work of the Anbiya's? I've so often told you about this. How Nabi Lut, how Nabi Nuh, how Nabi Saleh, how Nabi Hud, how all our Anbiya's preached to the people. Their struggle, their effort, what was it all about? Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam addressed his people at every turn, at every opportunity. He told them that Tawheed and morality had been the teaching of every Nabi and Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told them that the people who believed and followed them had succeeded in this world and in the next world. He told them that those who had opposed the Anbiya's, the Prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who had rebelled against their teachings, had been punished in this world, and that they would suffer eternal chastisement and damnation in the hereafter. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam asked his people to accept him as a messenger of Allah ta'ala. He asked them to have fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked them to be obedient to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked them to be obedient to his teachings. He said, and he told them openly, I want no material reward. I seek no material reward, neither money, nor do I seek gifts from you for my preaching of the truth and the haq and the tawheed. For, he told them, he was only carrying out his divine task, his divine duty, and he would be compensated for his task and his preaching by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From man, he wanted nothing. He asked them why they left their wives for the men and the youth of their society, for satisfying their lusts. He asked them this question. He says, why do you go to men? Why do you go to the young boys? Why do you not go to the women? Why do you not go to your wives? You are legally married to your wife. You have a wife. If you're not married, I will make your nikah and you can have a wife. Now why do you satisfy your lust, your passions on fellow males? Why do you do that? And he asked them. He told them that this was an inhuman act, that it was an outrageous act for which the punishment would be a terrible one. A terrible calamity will befall you unless you leave this evil act. He told them that they should not allow themselves to be tempted and to be seduced by shaitan. These preachings, which I have now mentioned to you, of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, are recorded as follows in the Quran Majeed. Again, let me again bring out. I've given you the tafsir, the commentary. Now here comes the ayat of the Quran. This is where I get my information from. From who, where? Quran Majid. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Pak, Kazzabat qawm lutin il mursaleen. إِذَا قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ لُوطٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونْ وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَتَعْتُونَ الزُّكْرَانَ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ وَتَزَدُونَ مَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَادُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ Surah Shu'ara, 26th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 160 to Ayat number 166. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people of Lut also accused the messengers of Allah of imposture. Of imposture, meaning that the prophets of Allah Ta'ala lied to the people. Na'uz billah. The people of Lut also accused the messengers of Allah of imposture when their brother Lut said to them, will you not fear Allah Verily, I am a faithful messenger of Allah to you. Therefore, fear Allah and obey me. And I ask of you no reward for my preaching, for my reward is from no other than the sustainer of all creatures. Do you approach the males amongst all creatures in mankind and leave your wives, whom your sustainer created for you? You are most surely a people who transgress. Says Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, will you not fear Allah? He is preaching to them, he is lecturing to them. Will you not fear Allah? Verily, I am a faithful messenger of Allah to you. Therefore, fear Allah and follow me and obey me. And I ask of you no reward for my preaching, for my reward is from no other than the sustainer of this universe, of all creatures. Do you approach the males, the menfolk among you? Do you approach the males amongst all creatures in mankind and you leave your wives when your sustainer created your wives for you? You are most surely a people who transgress. The Sodomites were adamant. The Sodomite peoples were obstinate, stubborn peoples. They would not listen to Nabi Lut alayhi salam. They did not wish to heed him at all. They refused to heed the preaching of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. They were drowned in their iniquity. They became blind to reason. Nothing would make them see beyond their noses. Nabi Lut alayhi salam preached to them day in and day out, night in and night out, and they rejected his calls and they looked right past him. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, like all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was a very brave and a very courageous man. Their intimidatory glances and threatening words made no impression on him, and he never showed any fear for these people. Whenever he could, he told them, as recorded in the Quran Majeed, وَلُوتًا إِذَ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَعْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِّن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ. Surah Naml 27, Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 54 and Ayat number 55, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and remember Lut when he said to his people, do you commit abomination? Do you commit this shameless act? And you see the wickedness of this evil act that you commit, the sodomy that you commit. You commit this act of sodomy and you also know that it is a wicked act. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and remember Lut, O Muslims, O you Muslim people, remember this. And remember Lut, when he said to his people, do you commit abomination and you see the wickedness thereof? Do you approach lustfully after men instead of women? You are surely an ignorant people. You are surely, most definitely, you are an ignorant people. They were enchanted by their evil and saw no shame or evil in it. Brothers, I'm not going to go any further here. The explanation comes for the next ayat after this. What I'm going to tell you now is the following. And the following is as follows. Brothers, in the last few years, say the last 3 years in particular, a number of Muslim men and women folk have telephoned me. This is not something that they will, they're written to me and spoken to me on the telephone. Very few have approached me directly. After a few discussions, some have come, but many, from many parts of the world, but especially since I live here, many from South Africa have phoned me. Many of these people are professional people, well-educated people, well-off people, suffering with this problem. They say they fail to resist men. And the women that have phoned say they fail to resist women. They say we are sitting with a problem where they are either homosexuals or they are lesbians. It's a great dilemma. I say they are professional people, they don't tell you that the first time, but they have very, very serious misgivings about how the people of Sodom are indulging in sodomy, and they know that it is wicked. Well, these people that phone me and contact me and write to me say, they know they are committing evil. But they say it's irresistible, they don't know what to do, they cannot help themselves. Brothers, that is a wish-wash, it's wrong, it's false. It is shaitan penetrating your mind and telling you that you cannot resist it. I want to be very straight with these brothers and sisters that contact me. Many of them through the barakah of these tapes and listening to them, they feel I am approachable, they feel that I do understand their problem. Yes, I do understand your problem, but you are mischievous. There is no sound reason in saying that you know you are doing wrong and yet you are doing it. No. If you know it is haram, and if you know it is the worst sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is clear from this Quran, that animals do not engage in acts of sodomy, then to what rank, to what state, to what level has man fallen if he indulges in such an unnatural act? Can you say it is irresistible? Is that an explanation? Your explanation is false, totally false. It is shaitan giving you that particular explanation. So many of our young people have approached me with this particular problem. Why in the youth? What is it? Why has this evil of sodomy entered the fold of the Muslim ummah and the Muslim community? Is it because of the same reason that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah entered into the sin, that they had everything, they were self-sufficient? Is that your reason? Is it drugs? Because many of them tell me that from drugs they went into this particular habit. The pitiest, the saddest, and the worst of all is when the women folk say that they find it irresistible, the mothers of the ummah. Brothers, it is a shame. No, do not deceive yourselves. The problem of homosexuality and lesbianism is foreign to him, to man, leave alone Islam, that's one thing. But to men and women themselves, this is totally unnatural. There's no such thing as that it is an irresistible act that you cannot withhold yourself from it. If you fear truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you truly fear the fires of Jahannam in which you will burn, Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night of Miraj went and saw for himself how homosexuals and how lesbians are suffering in the fires of hell. This is not the place to describe it now. If you have any fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear of the day of judgment, and fear of the fire, burning fires of Jahannam, then please, just make up your mind, it is wrong, it is haram, and I'm going to leave it alone, and that is it. You just got to boldly and courageously make up your mind, and you know what the score is. Leave it alone, do not indulge in it, do not go for it, it is not an irresistible act. Shaitan has got such a powerful grip over you, he's cast such a magical spell over you, that you can't leave it. But wallah, like the Sahaba Karam, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain, one example I give you, the day, the time, the hour, the minute, and the second that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed them that from this day onwards wine is haram. From that very split second, the Sahaba Karam Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain on the spot stopped drinking. On the spot. Those who had the cup to their lips dropped the cup. Those who had taken a little bit onto their tongue and had a little bit in their mouths, they threw it out. They gargled their mouths until it was, every trace of wine was removed from it. All contact was immediately and instantly dropped with wine. Every pitcher, every container that they had in their homes, everything was destroyed, but completely. That was their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the commandment and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of that which is haram. Can't we do the same? If you know that homosexuality, and if you know that lesbianism is more abhorred, is more disliked, that it gives greater displeasure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then instantly, this very minute, the moment you hear this, immediately remove this habit and remove it and seek tawbah until your dying day you ask for tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never ever indulge in this filthy, dastardly and evil act. Never again. You only need to make up. And if you got iman and you got yaqeen, like the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala, in obedience to their way, and in obedience to the command of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this is haram, and where Allah says it is the worst, and the most evil, and the most atrocious of acts that man can indulge in, then immediately leave it. You do not need any advice from me. Don't phone me and write to me. Here is my advice. And the advice is very, very clear. This is not our way. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have declared it totally haram. It is totally illegal, totally illegitimate, totally prohibited. There is, what explanation you want from me? You keep asking me and keep phoning me more. It is something that we cannot help. Do you want me to tell you that you can continue with it until you can leave it alone? No. Some have phoned me to say the doctor says it is your way, so you must phase it out of your life. Astaghfirullah. Which doctors are those? My dear brothers and sisters, hundreds and hundreds of you that are indulging in this evil act will go to Jahannam, mark my words, unless you immediately and instantly stop this evil act. And if a single Muslim learns this act from you, because a homosexual and a lesbian looks for partners, and they destroy the souls and the lives of other people, and children in particular, they destroy the lives of. If anybody, any Muslim that listens to me here, if he ever or if she ever destroys one single life of another Muslim through such indulgences, then I guarantee you, you will go to Jahannam forever and forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to save you. You can make as much tawbah as you want to, it will not help, because you have destroyed the lives of others. So please be careful and drop this act and stop destroying people's lives. It is worse than drugs. Not that drugs is permitted, drugs is equal. But if drugs is leading you into this, then my Muslim brothers and sisters, stop immediately. This is an appeal from the heart. It is what Quran says. It is what Sunnah says. So be done with it. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, our creator, our sustainer. And we send darud and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our lesson title is Shaitan's Plan for Man. We are doing here at present, for the last 2-3 weeks, a study of the life and the times of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam and Shaitan's role as far as the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam are concerned. I have recited for you several ayat of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the immoral and corrupt way of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam. The fact that they indulged in sodomy, which was an unnatural act in which even animals did not indulge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid, the last ayat that I recited to you last week, tells us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa Lutan إِذَا قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَعْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِنْ دُونِ النِّسَاءِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ Surah number 27, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 54 and 55, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember Lut, when he said to his people, do you commit abomination? And you see the wickedness of this abomination which you commit, do you approach lustfully after man instead of woman? You are surely an ignorant people. That is the translation, and I made it very clear that the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam indulge in the act of sodomy. We today tend to call this gays and lesbians, homosexuals and so on, where man sleeps with man, or man sleeps with boy, and woman sleeps with woman, or woman sleeps with a girl. And they have sexual contact and intercourse as well, in whatever way. But this is completely against the nature and the natural disposition of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made us so. Last week, towards the end, I made it very clear to those people, particularly Muslims who indulge in this type of sin, which is a growing sin, increasing sin. I told you about the development of communes in various European societies in residential areas where these gays and lesbians are forming little communes and buying up houses in areas wherein they live and practice this evil, and the results thereof. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam had started this. I gave you last week how Shaitan came to them. The whole story I gave you, I'm not going to repeat it, how Shaitan came and taught them sodomy. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Nabi Lut alayhi salam addressed his people and he asked his people these questions, that you commit this lewd and shameless act, this abominable act, and yet you know how wicked and how sinful this act is. You know that it is against the grain in the nature of man, this evil act that you are indulging in. And why do you approach men instead of women? I mean, you've got your wives, there are plenty of girls here in your society. Why don't you make nikah with them? Why don't you get married to them? Why do you sleep with man with man, male with male, and female with female? It is wrong, and you know it is wrong. So why do you indulge in it? You are totally wrong by doing so. And Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam told them, "Bal antum qawmun tajhalun." You are jahils. How can you do such a thing? You are totally ignorant people. Let's continue now with this week's lesson. They were enchanted. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam, however, as a result of inducement by Shaitan, or call it instigation by Shaitan, we use the word waswas. But in English we will call it instigation, we will call it whispering, we can call it inducement, where Shaitan comes into you and he whispers, makes waswas. The waswas of Shaitan, however, had made sodomy look good to the people, look very attractive to the people. And I've used the word here, they were enchanted by their evil and saw no shame and no evil in this act of sodomy. They were completely unprincipled in this regard. Even animals and beasts are not so hyenas, not so raw. The people of Mu'tafika, this is the five towns that comprise the area wherein lived these sodomite peoples. The people of Mu'tafika, however, went on in their barbarous, uncivilized, uncultivated way, disregardful of even common decency and shame. Their women and their children suffered and labored, while the men shared their lust and their greed in public and in private. You know, when this starts happening, when such shameless acts start happening in public, openly, brazenly, in the bazaars, in the streets, in the parks, in the open arenas and everywhere, the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam were practicing their indecent and unnatural act of sodomy, both in public and in private. And they were ignoring their womenfolk, their wives, their mothers, their daughters. They were ignoring completely and not using them, but making them work and making them slave for the menfolk. Never in the history of mankind have a people stooped so low as the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Their malevolence was directed at all and sundry. They lived only for themselves and for their own selfish pleasure. The more Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to them, the more incensed and infuriated they became, and the more they increased their sin and their evil. Robbing with the acts of sodomy, they also started to rob, to pillage, and to plunder the travelers, and to vandalize and loot strangers. And this was done with malicious and evil intent. They committed sins brazenly, openly. They patrolled their highways to kill, to rob, and to loot people. They had become an evil-minded and an aggressive people, completely uncaring for others. They would hold public meetings and displays and gatherings, and there, in front of the public, they would indulge in acts of sin and acts of transgression. Among the evil acts mentioned in the Tafasir that these people would indulge in are the following. Brothers, please listen to this very carefully. I have taken this from the various tafasir. The tafasir have taken it from various hadiths, one of which I recited to you last week. And now you listen. And I've said these lessons are very, very important because they are contemporaneous. In other words, they have to they have a lot in common with many of the evil practices that exist in our time. And you will now realize the origin of those evils and why in Islam, in the Sharia, very, very important, because they are contemporaneous. In other words, they have a lot in common with many of the evil practices that exist in our time. And you will now realize the origin of those evils and why in Islam, in the Sharia of Islam, they have been declared as haram. You will understand now. Here it is. These are the wanton and evil acts in which the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam indulged in private and in public. Men kissing and caressing one another, holding one another, kissing one another openly, public and in private. Heavy petting. Demagoguery. You know what is demagoguery? Appealing to the passions and the prejudices of the people. They would address people, and in there they would appeal to the emotions of the people, to the prejudices that they have for people. The various prejudices that exist between people. Maybe it was racial. In our time it would be racial. That man does not belong to our nation or our race or our group or our color. Therefore don't vote for him, have nothing to do with him, don't elect him. You know, we are taught we must select people on the basis of their piety, their taqwa, their goodness, their intelligence, their wisdom, their piety and their morality, their character. We are supposed to select people along those lines. Not along their... And without any racial bias or prejudice, because he's a poor man or a rich man, or he's fair-skinned or dark-skinned, or he belongs to our race or group or not, or ethnicity, or whatever other values that we esteem and hold dear. No. But the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam used all those things, and this is what I mean when I say demagoguery. They would preach to the people and appeal to the emotions and sentiments and the prejudices of the people. So we carry on. Then they would make rude and lewd and shameless remarks in their lectures, their talks. They would make all these kinds of shameless remarks. Brothers, this is on the increase. This is on the increase. I hear it from the high school children. I hear it from university children, the way they are addressed by their lecturers and the type of talks and discussions. You know and you are aware that in our schools, high schools, even in our primary schools, they want to introduce what? Sex classes. You know that. You know in our high schools, what do they want to distribute? Condoms. Advertise it. Give pamphlets. And so on. They want to encourage, because why do they want to do this? They want to do this so that girls don't fall, have to leave school because they have fallen pregnant. In other words, they are not saying don't indulge in these things. They are saying indulge in it, but make it safe. AIDS is the same thing. They know the cause of AIDS. They know it. They are not saying don't have free sex. They are saying use something to prevent AIDS and things like that. Now here is the origin of all these things. Look how far it goes back, and when thousands of years ago all these things were. So they would stand there. And you know our public lecturers, many a time, I don't mean Muslims, but we're talking in general of the non-Muslims and so on. Have you heard what kind of remarks they make? Look at their literature, look at the media, look at the pornography included in our newspapers, in our magazines, and on the television screens and all over the radio and so on. Look at the lewdness and the rudeness and the shamelessness displayed therein. I don't have to tell you, you are well aware. Here it is, in the time of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to make a public display for men and women. In those days, to come in and sit naked in front of the public was no problem. To suddenly decide two men to go there on the stage and indulge in sodomy was no problem. To sit there and caress one another and kiss one another and pet one another, no problem. This was the people, these were the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Today it may be portrayed on the screens and on films and in books and magazines. What is the difference, brothers? No difference. They are indulging in all these sex acts, immorality, prostitution. You name all the kinds of evils. Adultery is all being shown all over the country. Every home, every shop, every industry, everybody is indulging in the thing that the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam indulged in. And you will hear now, as we proceed, what was the result of all this rudeness and shamelessness. Then we go forward. The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam also indulging, and you can pick up any major tafsir, you will find all this information with regard to the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, swearing and abusing those who disagreed with them. In public they would swear them, they would abuse them, they would vilify them, they would backbite them, they would swear at them, taunt them, mock them, jeer them, laugh at them, joke about them. What are our best jokes today, you know? The people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam used to become drunk due to consuming tankards of wine. Big jars of wine used to be served all the time, and the wine glass would be kept filled all the time. The moment a little bit is drunk out of it, they would fill it up again and so on. And they would tankards and tankards, big tanks like this, in other words, big caskets and all, would be kept there, and they would fill up the wine all the time from barrels it would be filled, and they would drink themselves until they were totally drunk and totally loss of control, mental and physical control they would have. These were the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Then also, now we're coming to more familiar grounds. Blowing of horns, banging of tambourines, applauding wildly, laughing madly, and clapping ecstatically. Allahu Akbar, brothers, when you read this, you come to know where is the origin of clapping. I have sat in Muslim gatherings and assemblies, brothers, where somebody has perhaps delivered a wonderful speech, or children have made a certain performance which the people have liked, and everybody in the audience bangs out clapping and shouting and screaming and laughing and whistling. Brothers, where is clapping? We have been taught we must say, Alhamdulillah. We must say, may Allah make reward these people with more, with better abilities. May Allah, more ni'mah and more blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on this person. More favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah reward this man. And we say, Subhanallah. We say, Alhamdulillah. And if we do have to shout, we say aloud, Allahu Akbar. All praises are to Allah. Allah is the greatest. Where did clapping come to the Muslim ummah from? We have never had clapping. Clapping is totally condemned. Whistling is condemned. Where did these things originate from? From the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. They are the people who started this clapping. Laughing. How we laugh, brothers. How we laugh. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam has taught us that if we but only knew, we would cry. We would cry a lot if we knew what is to come and what is to occur and what lies ahead. We would weep. We would weep a lot. And we laugh, brothers. We laugh for everything and anything. We joke about everything. The blowing of horns. You know what goes on when there is a celebration? We press our hooters and we scream and shout, and the music is all allowed. Astaghfirullah, brothers. Na'udzubillah. Where did all this come from? The wedding ceremony is a holy ceremony, brothers. It's a sacred occasion. It's two people whom you and I pray will live forever, will have a marriage and will live in harmony until they die. And what happens? We are blowing our horn. Nobody is thanking Allah. Nobody is making dua for them. Nobody is wishing that whatever children come to them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. The only dua that is made is in the masjid. The moment they go out of the masjid, it's a celebration. It's a joyous occasion. Everything we do with great joy, with great zest for life. Here it is. The blowing of horns. Obviously, they had their own horns that were made from the various types of animals that they used. From animals, they used to pierce holes. This is a very ancient art, obviously, the making of horns. I'm not talking about our modern hooters, brothers. I'm talking about the bugles and the horns carved out from the animal horns and so on that they used to have. And they used to trumpet and blow into it. Tambourines, they used to take like bamboo sticks and make this type of drum where you bang on, and they used to take a leather. Obviously they had cows and sheep and so on. They would take and dry it out and then stretch it, and they would beat the drum. That's a tambourine. It's an ancient kind of drum, and they used to bang that and make loud noises and whistling sounds and singing and dancing and merrymaking. All these things originated with, as far as I can see from the Quranic information, from the ancient peoples. Amongst them, the worst were the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. They had truly become a fallen people, a disgraceful people, a people who had no self-respect left. I have no hesitation in saying that these were a mentally deranged people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had called on Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam to preach the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to these people of Mu'tafika. This is how the Quran Majid records the preaching of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam to his people who lived in the towns of Sodom. What were the five towns of Mu'tafika? Sodom, Gomorrah, Adama, Zeboim, and Zor. These are all, I told you, in the south eastern corner of the present Dead Sea. There was no Dead Sea at that time. I want to correct that when I said last week that these five major towns in which lived the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam was in the south, as I said now, in the southeast of the Dead Sea. No. These five towns existed over and on top of where this present Dead Sea lies. I will give you the measurements later in the lesson. It was a huge and vast area, almost like the city of Cape Town. Not as big, but quite big. Where the lake, the Dead Sea, stands today, it is in that whole area that existed this area. The whole area was known as Mu'tafika, and the five towns that made up this province of Mu'tafika were Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboim, and Zor. And that whole valley at that time, which today is known as the Jordan Valley, at that time it was called the Valley of Siddim. With the Dead Sea now, that valley in Jordan was known at that time, its ancient name, as the Valley of Siddim. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid, وَلُوتًا إِذَ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْعَالَمِينَ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ وَتَقْطَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ وَتَعْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنكَرَ. Surah An-Kabut 29, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 28 and 29, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Kabut, Surah the Spider, and remember Lut when he said to his people, verily you commit an abomination which no creature has ever committed before you. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. O people of Lut, you are committing a deed. You are committing an abomination. You are committing sodomy which no creature, no creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you has ever committed. And then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you approach lustfully the males, and you lay wait in the highways for travelers, in other words, and you commit abomination in your meetings, in your assemblies. Where did the information come from? I gave you a commentary just before that in private and in public they used to commit indecencies and abominations. Here is the ayat of the Quran. That in public they used to perform sodomy, shamelessness, clapping, laughing, drinking, dancing, merrymaking, petting, embracing, kissing, naked, becoming naked. All the rest of it, here it is. And remember Lut, when Lut said to his people, what did he tell his people? He said, verily, you commit an abomination which no creature on earth has committed before you. No creature, no creation of Allah, neither animal nor man. Nobody. I told you last week how it came about that the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, how Shaitan taught them sodomy. They were the originators and the inventors of this evil act. Then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you approach the males. In other words, man goes to man. Man sleeps with man. And you lay wait in the highways and you rob the travelers, innocent people that come to your town and your cities, because their cities were self-sufficient. Lot of food grains, lot of fruit, very wealthy, very well off. Plenty of grains and plenty of fruit and plenty of vegetables. Plenty of industries. So people used to come to Mu'tafika, to these five cities, to buy food for their areas and take it back. They used to come with their caravans, load it up and take it back. So they had to come to Sodom. They had to come to Mu'tafika to buy their goodies. And when they used to come to buy their goods, then these people used to steal it. These people would allow them to buy, they would buy, and as they go back, they would rob them. They would completely take them, rob them, kill them, injure them, hurt them, and also use them. In other words, sodomize them. This is what they were doing. Here it is in the Quran, for you approach lustfully the males, and you lay in wait in the highways, in other words, for the travelers, to rob them and pillage them and plunder them. And you commit abomination in your meetings. Subhanallah. Here it is. وَتَقْتَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ وَتَعَتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرَ Allahu Akbar. In your public assemblies, you perform all these evil acts. The Sodomite peoples were beyond repair, and they were beyond recall. Brothers, I want you to realize this. How fallen the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam had become. You cannot imagine it. You cannot imagine it. This is how low they had sunk, lower than the beasts and the wild animals. They were sunk in a morass of shamelessness, deceit, evil and sin. And no amount of preaching and pleading of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam appeared to have any salutary, wholesome and productive effect on them. They had demeaned and dehumanized themselves to such a degree that they had lost all human values and human dignity. The words of the Holy Quran, مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْأَعْلَمِينَ An abomination which no creature has ever committed before you clearly illustrates the extent of their depth and their degradation. They robbed and they pillaged travelers without cause or reason. They plundered and they burnt the villages of poor farmers to oppress and to exploit them. And they shamelessly indulged in unnatural sex acts openly and flagrantly. Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam did his best without comfort and without rest. He bore their intimidation and their threats and their warnings and their persecution with extreme patience and tolerance, a lesson he had been well versed in by his mentor, Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam. Remember that he spent his boyhood, his childhood, he grew up under the tutelage. Who was his tutor? Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu wasalam. He had taught him. Look where now those lessons that he had acquired from his mentor and his spiritual director, that came into help, because Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was an extremely tolerant and patient man, and that came in good use to Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. He had seen himself and experienced how Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had tolerated his people, the threats and the persecution of his people. You know, I've told you the whole story in detail. I told you the story of the sufferings of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam at the hands of his people. And here Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam sees the whole drama unfolding before him, and he sees his people, and he talks to his people, and he remembers how Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used to preach to them. The people were no longer prepared to take the preaching of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. They began to react and respond in various ways to the appeals to their heart and their sense of reason by Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran Majid records their various responses in the following way. Let us look now at how the people responded when Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam preached to them and invited them towards goodness and told them to abstain from evil. This is what they said. We're going to turn to the Quran now. It says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالُوا لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِ يَا لُوتُ لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُخْرَجِينَ Surah Shu'ara 26, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 167. The people said to Lut alayhi salam, the people said, O Lut, if you do not cease with your preaching, then you will surely be expelled from here. We will drive you out of this town. We will make you of the mukhrajin. The people said, O Lut, if you do not stop preaching, if you do not cease, and you keep telling us to come towards good and to leave this evil that we are doing, then we will drive you out. You, your family, your wife, your children, everybody, we're going to throw you out of here. We're going to drive you out of here. We're going to tell you to get out of here. Anbiya Karam, the most holy of people, the most pious, the most saintly of people, the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have been addressed by people in this way. Subhanallah. The people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the most on earth, the most eminent and pious, were addressed by the people in words like this. O Lut, if you do not stop with your preaching, then we will throw you out, we will drive you out from here. they threatened to drive him out of the city. They would use force if necessary. They assured him he must not talk to them any longer. He must not preach to them any longer. He must leave them alone with their evil and their sinful ways. The Quran Majid also informs us of their reaction to the preaching towards goodness and piety of Nabi Lut alayhi salam in the following words. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوا آلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. Surah Naml, 27th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 56. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the answer of his people was no other than they said, expel the family of Lut from your city, for they are a people who keep themselves clean, they keep themselves pure. Allahu Akbar. In those days, to be even pious and clean and moral and pure was a sin in the eyes of the people. A'udhu billah. Here it is. But the answer of his people was no other than they said, the people said to Lut alayhi salam, what did they say? They said, expel the family of Lut from your city. In other words, the people said, take these people out, the evil people, the sinful people, this is what they said, drive the family of Lut alayhi salam out of the city, for Lut alayhi salam and his family are a pure people, a pious people, a clean people, a moral people, so we don't want such people in our community. We want to take them out from here and drive them out of here. The filthy lusts and the shameless passions, the disease, the sick state of mind, and the awful crimes against humanity of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salam were cut.